You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Welcome into the DNVR Avalanche Podcast. What a game. I mean, actually, like, half of that game really sucked. I'm not going to lie to you. But what a comeback from the Colorado Avalanche to beat the Vancouver Canucks 4-3 in overtime. And my vibes were not ready for this. I'm freaking out about a snowstorm, and the Avs are doing ridiculous things and winning hockey games. I don't know what to do with myself.
We got to hurry, buddy.
60-second rundown. Get it. First period sucked, but it was a terrible period of hockey. Not interesting in the slightest. The Avs give up a goal 30 seconds into the game, and then they give up another one 3 minutes into the game, and they're down 2-0. And those are the only things that happened in the first period. Shots were like 6-6 at the end of the first period.
It was awful.
Second period, actually felt like the game picked up in pace quite a bit. The Avs just weren't able to finish anything for 19 minutes and 59 seconds. Vancouver does get a third goal on the board. It started to feel like things were probably going to slip away from Colorado, but a last-second goal, Devontae's D'Amico Rantanen keeps him in the game. It's only down two going into the third. The Avs get a 5-on-3. Vancouver, really their own worst enemy tonight, makes it 3-2. An absolutely hard-working play from Ross Colton and Miles Wood gets it back to tied, and then Vancouver takes a delay-of-game penalty with 8 seconds left in the game, and Val Nichushkin uses his noggin to win the game in overtime for Colorado. Woo! W is a W is a W?
Yes.
Okay. They got it to the W in the end. You certainly don't care that much about giving Vancouver a point. Colorado in a great position. Avs did not play well for the first half of the game, I think it's safe to say. Georgiev, does he get credit tonight for keeping it to three, or does he not?
No, don't give me this. Okay. He gives up two goals on the first two shots of the game. They're down 2-0. Whoever you want to assign blame, whatever, they're down 3-0 in part because Alexander Georgiev is getting outplayed by Casey DeSmith. I don't want to hear it. I just don't. I'm taking Eric's job here.
Okay. Thank
you. I just don't want to hear it about, oh, he kept it to three. Kept it to three? Give me a break with this. You kept it to three.
Hey, listen.
You lose in the NHL if you keep it to three.
Vancouver Canucks is a good team. Vancouver Canucks is a good team. As we're on a back-to-back, right? We're on a back-to-back, tired. Those guys were rested. As played a solid game. They gave up nothing. They gave up nothing. They didn't get goaltending, and they won the game. Do I like that? No. But they won the game without having goaltending. So that's a big plus, but I'm just worried coming down the playoffs. I just don't like to win games that way. He's asked, what do you have to do tonight? 10 saves? Like, whatever it is? He didn't make 10 saves. I'm not being negative. This is an awesome game. This is my only negative. You won't hear me be negative about this game. You can't play goaltender like that in the playoffs. It's going to be damaging for the Avs. That's it. And plain and simple. And he whiffed on a couple. It could have been worse. Just remember that. And thank God that they dominated the third and didn't give up anything because it could have been bad. So the Avs are at their best. They know that their goaltending's struggling. Goaltender's struggling back there. They keep the puck. They go and they're like, you know what? Let's go do this. And they did. And it was awesome to watch. It was a great win. It was awesome. But thank God that they had the puck and Vancouver didn't have it.
Yeah.
Kudos to the Avs because they played great that way. In a sense that they felt they knew it, that their goaltender was struggling.
Well,
and they went to work, and it was an awesome win for that.
they limit Vancouver to 3 shots in the third period and a crazy penalty kill that doesn't see Vancouver in their own end until the final minute. You know, Josh Manson gets his chance before Vancouver even gets a chance to set up in their own end.
Yep.
And it's not to dunk on Georgiev completely. It's just when he faced the most action in this game, when the most was demanded of him, he didn't really come up in a big way. Colorado rallied around him in the third period, and he was needed a lot less, but it was thanks in part to how well Colorado played in front of him following that point.
I can name 16, 17 better players on their team tonight than him.
My problem isn't, Georgiev had a bad game. My problem is much more, he gives up these goals, and then you're looking at him, waiting for him to make the next play, and it's getting worse. You're watching him miss poke checks. You're watching him not even be able to handle a puck when there's no pressure on him. Those are the types of mental concerns that I go, he's struggling.
And there were saves. There were some saves. Totally. Like that power play in the third period, weird bounce off the board. The PK is killing it. Doing everything they can. You get a weird bounce off the board right to a guy in front. He makes that save.
Yep.
Like, you need saves in order to have a comeback. That's great.
Right.
But you're in a 3-0 hole because you didn't get him early on.
Yep.
And that's just it. Does he outplay Casey DeSmith once the game gets to 3-0? Sure.
No, he didn't.
If you erase all of his goals against.
Yeah, sure. That's fine. It's just, it just wasn't a good game for him. It's fine. Like, this is not what I want to focus on.
Right. Yeah.
I wanted to get the negatives out of the way so we could go.
This is everything just else not is what I want to get into. But yeah, Alexander Georgiev is not going to feel good about this game.
Yep.
No.
It's fine.
Very quickly, the one other negative I had, Avs top pairing on the ice for all 3 goals against.
Wow.
Need your top pairing to be a little bit more sound defensively, even if there is some weak goaltending going on behind him and other factors there.
Well, and to be honest with you, you're down 3-0. You're talking about the top pairing. You're talking about your number one goaltender. Your number one goaltender, by the way, who's not on a back-to-back.
Yeah, he's rested.
Who did not play last night. And that's in one part of the reason why you're down 3-0 to start the game is because your best players just weren't very good to start the game. They were kind of a no-show until they weren't. And then once they stopped being a no-show,
They were an only show.
Yeah, they were the show.
Only fan show?
So, gross. So it was totally different. Like, and the game just flipped on its ear.
Yep.
One of Eric's no-nos. You don't give up goals like that at the end of a period. But Colorado Stars are major culprits for why they're down the way that they were down. That in part is Georgiev, and that's
and then they pulled it back. Yeah,
yeah, and then they were the ones that started to.
Vancouver's strategy, knowing Colorado's on the second leg of a back-to-back, was to attack early with speed, and I think it caught them off guard, and they allowed a little bit too much through the neutral zone to just be a speedway for JT Miller to get up and down the ice, and they weren't prepared to back check him. And so I see people in the chat thinking that 2-0 hole that they go down in the beginning isn't completely on Georgiev. And to some extent, I think that's true, but it's also where you look at how this game could have very easily been lost if Colorado didn't dig pretty deep, because this is a team on the second leg of a back-to-back down quite a few important players. So it's a pretty impressive comeback for that reason, but a risky game too. Like, it's just been a problem of Georgiev's is how he starts his games. And Vancouver knew that they were vulnerable. Colorado was, at 100%. Least, to start this game, and they capitalized on it. And that's why it's so important then for the rested goaltender to start the game a little bit fresher than we saw.
And I want to use this to transition into the positives, because you have to give the Evs a ton of credit for not just going away in this game.
Especially in a Sega Baba?
I tell you, the four of us sitting on that couch over there watching this game were ready to go home when it was 3-0.
Run the clock.
Yeah.
I put a bet on the Evs. And they came back. I know. I won some money.
Let's go.
Remember when they were at plus 1,100 and we were like, dude, you should just throw money on this automatically.
Just on principle.
Yeah.
Easy money to make right there.
And instead, I went on Twitter and made jokes about sushi and stuff. Stupid.
You are dumb.
Jokes on me.
But before we get into the bigger names, I want to give a lot of credit to guys like Brandon Duhaime and Yakov Trenin.
Yeah.
Dudes that are still adjusting to this team, come out there, leave it all on the ice, And I think it was you, AJ, that was talking about to him, where you can just see it. That dude's an av. Like
that guy immediately. We are three games into the Brandon Duhame era, and every game I've called him Brandon Wuham because I get excited about something that he does. Like I'm just give him a new deal now. I don't need to see anything else. Just it's fine. I'm good. I'm sold. He could replace one of these. He could replace Zach Parise or Andrew Cogliano. One of these old heads that's going away next year. Great. Replace them. He fits. He works. I'm excited.
I like him a lot. I like look, I know we were even looking at the PK. He honestly has a great track record in winning at least that first D-zone faceoff. It's, you know, throughout the course of the PK, it's a gamble. That's how faceoffs go. But I think that has paid significant dividends so early on for the Avs PK, yep. Especially one that's down a Logan O'Connor.
Yep.
It's extremely important. I really liked what that line did together. And honestly, just the general identity of not just the middle stat line with those two, but also what Wood and Colton did tonight, I think it's what brought them a lot of success. Absolutely. Even though some of the finishing touch wasn't there for parts of it, it gave them extended zone time when they needed it, mm-hmm. and allowed them to exhaust Vancouver a little bit. Yep. And I think that turned the game on its head, in addition to the big guys showing up.
Of course. Little fact that you can't ignore there, but the guys who are doing the dirty work deserve some credit too. Eric, when you're looking at a night like tonight, Megan brought up the Colton Wood line, which ultimately is the line that ties the game for you.
Yep.
But you talked about it. A lot of those goals are team goals, right? Because of the shift before, the shift after, you have that energy.
You've been max line, you know, with Miko and Val. They had a couple good shifts, and then next thing you know, it was the trend in that line.
Middle stat, whatever. And whoever the other wing is awesome. At any given time.
And then Woody and Ross, you end up getting that goal there, which was great. But it's a buzzsaw. The Avs, the way they play the game, they possess the puck. We all know that. They have some of the best players in the world. Now that you added Sean Walker, that he is a puck possession guy. And now you added a guy like that one shift. I'll steal AJ's thunder about his boy Duhame. They put that puck in deep and they went and they forechecked. They got the puck back. That's why I say the Avs are dangerous. They can get at you in many different ways. It's not fun to see McKinnon Branton and coming at you with Val. But then all of a sudden you have guys like Duhame and, Trennan and Russ and Woody and those guys, they come at you in waves. It's hot. It's overwhelming. And in a seven-game series, it will pay off. Avs will be dangerous. Missing Lecky tonight. Missing a key piece, you know what I mean, of special teams. Missing Parise. Missing Drouin, that's been an awesome player for the Avs this year. So you're missing a lot of people.
That's three of your top nine.
Forget about, we said it, we're not going to talk about Ed Olesya anymore, even though we love him. We're going to treat him like Gabe, meaning like he's out. You know what I mean? Like he's not there.
Yep.
So this team will be great. The back end is awesome. Their special teams are awesome now because their PK is so much more reliable. And then their PP has been awesome. It's been on fire. I mean, they won the special teams battle tonight. We talked about that. We kept it simple. You know, the one thing, and again, I'm not going back. You just didn't win the goaltending. But you didn't win the goaltending battle. Like, listen, as a player, you're on the bench, okay? You're watching this game. You're working your tail off to get back. I'll go back to that play. Hey, Rick Tocchet's going to have nightmares tonight. Footy, Rick Tocchet. One second.
Yeah.
Changes the game on a dime. You lift the guy's stick. You lift Miko's stick. And that's why he's a moose. But I'm saying, it's that simple. Put your face on the puck. You walk out of that period. No, but you walk out. Well, hey, Val scored with his face. So you walk out of that period. You're up 3-0. Tiff makes fun of my no-nos all the time. My biggest no-no, me in hockey, all those years, is you give up a goal in the last minute. Now, on the last second, when you're at home, the other team's playing on the back-to-back, and it's 3-1, it's the play of the game. I understand, like, the max shot, Val scoring with a shot. Play of the game is that freaking Rantanen goal with a second to go. It's a nightmare for the opposition.
And just to wrap it back in, it's real easy to play hard, to crash them in waves when it's a close game, when it's a one-goal game. When you're down three and you're doing that, your team's got some mental fortitude.
But that's what I was trying to say. Sorry, I'll get back to my point there. You're on the bench and you're seeing this. Listen, I don't care. They're not going to tell you that with Katie Goss on an interview after the game. Like, You see, you're living it. You see your goaltending's he's fighting the puck. Every time the puck got near him, he was fighting it. He whiffed on it twice. It hit him on the side one time, and you're like, whoa. Let's not give up anything in this third period. Let's just go at them. And that's what they did.
They went out and did it.
That's what I'm saying. But that's how good they are. And I'm not bashing the goaltending. Going back to goaltending, it's just subpar goaltending. I'm not blaming the goalie. Frickin' frack, you have to make... You're the NHL. You're supposed to make saves. He didn't make a lot. That's it.
He won a people's a lot of money, though. But whether it be Megan and Tiff or some of you in chat, I see your bets going out there.
No, but you got to win. You got to win. That's awesome. Good for him.
Go get your bets in with Bet365. When you see the Avs at plus 1,100, maybe you just throw some money down. Maybe that's how you do it with Bet365. When you do, sign up with code DNVR365 and bet $5 on any Avalanche game. Get $150 in bonus bets. Throw $150 in bonus bets down tonight, and you're a rich man.
God,
or woman. I don't judge. You can win a lot of money. That's all I'm saying. Get it with Bet365. Jump on it. Bet on the Avs or bet against the Avs. I don't know. Whatever you're feeling with
like
them.
You wanted to do.
They're not going to win them all, but they might win a lot of them if they play like this, or at least the second half of this game.
They might.
They might not.
I mean, it's possible.
You know, who's to say? Do it with Bet365. When you get over there and use the DNVR365 code, you must be 21 or older, physically located in Colorado, and if you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER today, and then when you win some beer money, go get yourself some Breckenridge Brewery beer, the official craft beer of DNVR. Avalanche Amber Ale, always a great way to celebrate a Colorado Avalanche win. You can get it in all 50 states. Use the Breck Beer Locator online at breckbrew.com to find it in a liquor store near you. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. Let's not bury the lead any further. The Stars were awesome when they needed to be tonight. I think there were times early in the game where you felt like MacKinnon wasn't doing a whole lot. Maybe Mikko felt a little bit passive at times. But when the chips are down, the dudes showed up. Is our three Stars ready? Send it.
You roll, Tiff.
Working overtime to get us out of this snowstorm tonight. Star number three, Casey Mittelstadt, does get an assist, hits my bet for me. Worked way harder and way more deserving than just one secondary assist tonight. Was doing yeoman's work on that second line.
Yeah, so we talked about, I made him third star because I absolutely loved his game. You could have easily sold me on Josh Manson in this slot too, because Josh Manson kicked ass tonight. He was so good. But Casey Mittelstadt, we talked about it. He has to be a dude for them. It doesn't matter who his line mates are. He has to drive a line.
Yep.
Brandon Duhame and Yakov Trenin are dudes that were acquired for third round picks.
They're not line
they
drivers.
They had a combined 22 points upon acquisition, all right? They were not guys that you're talking about as top six
Mittelstadt
dudes.
Mittelstadt has double that.
Casey Mittelstadt gets dropped in between them. And how does it go? As a second line in Vancouver, 5v5 tonight, 10-25 that trio was on the ice at 5v5. As a trio specifically, 16-4 in shot attempts, 8-2 shots on goal. 10-3 scoring chances and 7-2 high danger chances. That is top line stuff. That's
dominance.
Absolute ass kicking. And I thought Casey Mittelstadt was at the heart of all of it.
And taking real matchups against a team like Vancouver.
Yeah. We'll just take a quick.
That's a good team. Vancouver's a good team.
No doubt.
It's a big win for the Avs. A big win.
Megan, I want to get your thoughts on Mittelstadt, too, far.
I'm sorry. Just
get the numbers.
One number really quick. He goes head-to-head against Elias Pettersson. 6 minutes and 6 seconds head-to-head against Elias Pettersson. And shot attempts were 11-0 for the Avalanche.
Pretty
Casey
good.
Mittelstadt against Elias Pettersson. 11-0.
Pretty good.
That guy just signed a jajillion-dollar deal. 11-0. He whooped that ass. He was awesome tonight, and that's exactly what it looks like when you have a viable second line. And that's with, and I mean no offense, but that's with Brandon Duhame and Yakov Trenin.
They're just not second liners, yeah.
If this top six can ever be healthy, ever, it could be so good. All right, I'm done. I'm sorry.
Woo!
No, that was excellent. I really like Mittelstadt's fit, and I think we're seeing early returns on what you could project for the future. The handling is there. Some of that extended possession was just simply smooth handling from Mittelstadt, sometimes all alone. Some of those passes weren't received well, and I think that's just a matter of time as he learns his teammates' habits and becomes more familiar with them.
Also say put him next to a Lekkonen instead of a Duhaime. And
you elevate the skill around him, and I think they can better anticipate some of those reads. But what I loved and really teased some of his capabilities is on the Rantanen goal with seconds left in the period. It's a cross slot pass. He finds this near impossible seam almost wall to wall that Devontaeves is able to collect off the wall and then feed Rantanen for that goal. But I thought it was such quick thinking from Mittelstadt to find that opportunity among, you know, the chaos of the play that's unfolding down low. And that's the kind of thing that I think is going to make him such an excellent fit moving forward with Colorado once the talent around him is a little bit more of a fit.
He's got skill. He can't teach that. He does things with the puck that you're like, wow. I love him. Wasn't too familiar with him. Of course, I know him, been around the league, but didn't really nitpick this game. He's going to be a great fit, but I'll tell you what helped him tonight too. And I'm going to say this with a grain of salt because you don't want other people's injury, but Jonathan Drouin being hurt tonight and then Mittelstadt getting that cookie, getting that ice time with the big fellas on the power play gives you, it does give you, what, you don't like it?
No,
the opposite of not liking it.
You got to stop it with Druid. You got to feed Casey.
I know. That's what I'm just saying. Like, and I'm not, Jonathan's been awesome. You know, I'm just saying. But tonight, what it does is it gives you wings. And just as a skill guy, you touch the puck. You're making plays with Nathan MacKinnon, Kale McCarr, Rantanen. It's awesome. And it makes you feel good about your game when you're a skill guy. Now, you put Brendan Duhaime there, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, and I love the guy, too. That's what I'm saying. Your meat and potato guy doesn't matter. It's like, yeah, whoever, whatever. I just want to dump it in and go get it. Right? But a guy like Mittelstadt, when you feel it, when you feel that puck tonight, it's only going to be better. We'll see what happens when Jonathan's back. It doesn't matter who's there. Their power play is good. Whoever's there. But it makes a difference who gets that cookie because it makes you produce or play even better once you're back with your own unit.
Star number two.
Yeah, and since...
Move on. Go to one.
Miko, he's got 4 points last night.
Dude's moosing up.
Yeah, 3 points tonight. He's on an 11-game point streak. Like,
awesome.
What is there to say?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Move on.
This is the guy we've known he can be all year. He's just awesome. Doing
Miko,
it now.
Miko, Miko.
Yeah, absolutely.
Horse.
I really don't.
I'm just saying things.
That's the vibe of this pod right now, to be honest.
Moose, move on.
I don't have a ton to add.
I don't.
He's a beast. Miko Rantanen was fantastic.
He's a beast. He's a beast.
That's all there is to say. Number one star, Nathan move MacKinnon. 14-game point streak for him. Another multi-point night. What?
Scary.
He's what, 6 points away from the Avs season points record now? What do you even say about the Avs' best players? They're just better than everybody else.
And that's why they give up nothing.
Well, and when
give
you're...
up 20 shots on net tonight.
5-on-3, MacKinnon's just like, all right. Kale's dicking around up top.
Let me
like,
just like, unload one here.
Yeah, he just bombs away. And this is a shot that used to drive me crazy because he never scored on it. And he's starting to score on it enough that, like...
Still a little irregular, right. But it's going in enough.
It's going in enough, man. It's a problem. Like, it just is. It's a problem. And, and then obviously he gets the assist in overtime, which is a double doinker.
Yeah, goes it's off some nonsense.
And off Nichushkin's face, and that's pretty funny. But Megan was talking about that goal at the end of the second period, their first goal.
Yeah.
It's that cross-seam pass. Underrated part of that, Nathan MacKinnon doesn't touch that puck.
Lets it through.
Because he is skating up the wall, and for the first time ever, situational hockey from Nathan MacKinnon. Just lets it be. Because I think in most situations, he'd take that puck, he'd take it out high, and he would just see how it goes. He knows that they're at the end of the period, and that he's not going to accomplish anything if he's skating away from the net with 1 second left. So he just lets Devontaeves have it, and Taves just fires it across the ice. Just gives him a chance. So little thing does not get a point there. It's fine.
Yep.
But a nice, a good play by him to just let it be. For a guy that normally, every time he gets near a puck, he's just like a magnet to it. He's just like, gobble, gobble, gobble. And takes it and does something with it. And he's leading the NHL in scoring. So that's normally not a thing that you have a problem with.
Yeah, buddy.
But for him to let it go in that one,
the refs took the puck and threw it out of the rink and called a delay of game on Carson Soucy. That's what happened in this game, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, honorable mention, fourth star, the officials, for taking all the penalties in the third period, because that was definitely on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those were not, those for sure were not penalties that they just made up. Watching Vancouver, we were all laughing on that power play. Watching Vancouver trip two guys, and then they finally called the hook on McKinnon's hands, where it was like they're trying not to do this. And it was, that part of it was very funny. And then, yeah, I mean, what's your problem? That's, Carson Soucy throws the puck out with 10 seconds. That's just,
you will find friends in thinking that that penalty in general is stupid on this podcast.
Absolutely.
But it's a rule that everybody knows at this point.
Absolutely.
And you just can't do that.
Yeah. It's definitely on the officiating.
Any
I'll
thoughts
take
on
that.
Nathan
Sounds
McKinnon
great.
From the couch before we move on?
The bum.
He rules.
two wildly different takes there, but I will accept them. Another actual honorable mention, Val Nichushkin. First of all, he's been back with the Avs for three games, and he has two overtime winners. Second of all, if I had a nickel for every time Val Nichushkin scored off of his visor, I'd have two nickels, which is not a lot, but it's weird that it's happened twice.
Also, just this officials thing.
Cheers to the officials?
No. There was a... After it was tied, Vancouver had a power play.
That is true. They did get a power play
Their only shot on goal was a guy a foot away from the netminder, completely alone,
yeah,
who doesn't finish. Finish your chances. Like, it's that easy. I mean, Vancouver's in the position that it is because it scores three goals on 22 shots all the time. Finish your chances. That's not on anybody else. Score goals. Also, the rest of that power play was garbage. You did nothing.
Yep.
You've paid a bajillion dollars to a bunch of players. They didn't accomplish shit. You got bodied in the second half of the game.
Yep.
There were zero shots on goal by the Canucks until the Avs made it 3-3. There were zero shots on goal. Maybe don't turtle against a team with three of the best 15 players on earth. This is on you. Fucking joke.
On that note, here's to the snowstorm.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, cheers.
Let's hurry up and get out of here.
Cheers. Dr. Dubs, Vitamin W, all that goodness. Thank you for the 100 likes, chat. We appreciate y'all. 180.
Wow.
Pumping it up.
That was a fun win. I don't think I've taken a moment to appreciate
it. It was fun.
How fun it was.
You saved the win for everybody.
Yep. It was all Megan, honestly.
You're welcome.
That's not even me being sarcastic.
No,
that's
genuinely. The bar would not have gotten to see that overtime winner if it was not for Megan.
She put the gloves on and she hustled upstairs and she wiped the snow off the satellite and then came back down and the game was over.
Yep. On that note, if you're trying to get to the next Avs comeback game.
Why I put my arms into that?
That is how I run.
Go over to Game Time. Get your tickets through Game Time. Join the 15 million people using the Game Time app to get their tickets. And when you sign up with code DNVR, you get $20 off your first purchase with Game Time. And beyond the $20 off, Game Time guarantees you the best price on tickets. If you find tickets cheaper anywhere else, they'll reimburse you 110% of the ticket price. Tons of great ways to save money, whether it's getting last-minute tickets or using their section selector. You can pick the section that you're in, but not the seat. They'll pick the seat. On average, it saves you 18%. It's a great way to get tickets no matter what event you're going to, whether it be the Avs, the Nuggets, spring training, you name it. Game Time has it all, even concerts and things like that. Game Time has those tickets. Get with them today. Download that Game Time app. Use that DNVR code. It's the best way to get tickets. And then, if your roof survives the night,
yeah,
give a call to Red Hawk Roofing. They might want to help you out. They go out, get it inspected at the very least. Make sure it survived the snowstorm. Hopefully everything's okay with it, of course. But if there are issues, Red Hawk Roofing can get you fixed up right quick. They'll let you know everything that's going on up there. And even if it is an emergency situation, they are available 24/7. So they can come out and emergency patch your roof if the worst does happen. They're a local Colorado company, too. So get to redhawkroofing.com today. Hit them up. and get your roof looked at. I don't know what you're laughing about.
The graphic. No, on the TV.
Oh, okay.
It says Avs outscored Canucks 17-3 in the third. It was a better third period than I thought.
This game is way different than I remember. Yeah. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. Credit all the way around in that third period.
Obvious, that's an ass-kicking, dude.
Obviously the dominant possession-wise, but you even look at the game-tying goal from Ross Colton. Yes, it's great that they played great all night. Yes, it's awesome that Ross Colton finally puts one in the net. But look at how hard they work on that play. Ross Colton scores the goal lying down on the ice with a guy on top of him. Like, this is the Avs team that just will not be denied, right? This is the team that you feel like they could beat anybody.
Can I give numbers real quick?
Go ahead.
Third period, 5v5, 13 minutes and 47 seconds. Okay. In that time, shot attempts 20-3 for the Avalanche. Shots on goal 10-2. Scoring chances 10-1. High danger chances 6-0. There's a turtle and then there's this shit. You could easily look at this and make an argument that Vancouver didn't deserve a point. If the Avs get saves early on in the first half of the game,
buddy.
I know, I'm not trying to get Eric riled up again. But you get some saves and you get a little bit of finishing. I mean, At the end of this game, at 5v5, 46 minutes and 52 seconds of 5v5 time, 27-12 in scoring chances, 15-7 in high danger chances, 26-17 shots on goal at 5v5. Give me a break with this. On a Sega Papa against a rested team, they got their shit kicked, and the score didn't accurately reflect how the game was actually going.
Some of
those are score effects. But when you tie the game at 3-3 in the third period, and then you decide, okay, hey, they get a shot on goal immediately, and then you get a power play that does nothing, that can't even gain the zone.
Yep.
And then your destruction continues. Don't give me any of this nonsense. They choked. Absolutely. They choked, and the Avs took 2 points away from them tonight. Sorry, you guys go ahead.
No, you're right. Like I said earlier, they gave up nothing. Avs gave up nothing to a great team this year. Vancouver's one of the best teams in the league. They gave up nothing on a back-to-back, missing three key pieces up front. Kudos to the team. It's a great victory. But they gave up nothing. They gave up squat tonight. It shouldn't have been that close. They should have won the game easily. But they won the game. It's awesome. Not taking that away. But, I mean, realistically, the Avs were the better team. Not even close. Not even close. So it's a great sign. It's a great win. It's a great sign. But call a spade, you know? They didn't give up squat. They were awesome.
For the record, I'm not heated. I'm fired up. That was an awesome win.
No, he's heated.
He's just juiced. Yeah. He's juiced. Those juice levels are out of the room right now. Out of control. Eric, yes. What is the biggest no-no? A last-second goal, a 5-on-3, or a penalty with 8 seconds left in the tie game.
They're all on the list, you know, but you give up that goal 1 second. I mean, buddy, that is a tough one. I mean, that is even worse than the puck in the stands with 10 seconds. But, yeah, the Avs don't score on that 5-on-3. They don't win the game. That's just the way it is. You go back in the history of the game, look, and when you have a 5-on-3 for almost a minute, it was like 48 seconds, if you don't score, odds are you're not winning the game. Even if you're in the lead, usually ends up biting you in the butt. But tonight, that was a crucial. Right away, they scored 1 second ago. We all said, oh, my God, they're going to win this game. We're all talking about leaving and, oh, God, this sucks and the snow snucks. And Rudo, go read his messages. He was pissy. Go read his Twitter.
I was super salty.
He was salty, man. He was salty. But it turned because those no-nos are huge. Those no-nos are huge. But I think that the answer, that 1 second one is the biggest no-no committed by Vancouver tonight.
Megan, I'm curious your thoughts on the third period, since Rudo was going to ask you, and then I just started firing numbers and then shouting into a microphone.
I feel like I touched on it early on in, unfortunately, my slight criticism of Georgiev, but it was how masterfully the Avs handled the third period.
Yep.
Like you mentioned, until, I believe it's the Ross Colton goal. Let me see. Yeah. They didn't allow any shots.
Nope, but outrageous.
And
because you know,
it was extended time in Vancouver's end, even though some of the chances weren't necessarily the most dangerous, it was exhausting Vancouver. And this is where I think the mentality of Colorado as a group is really demonstrated, the maturity of the team to see the end in sight, see a way to get back in this game and win this game. And I think that was sort of how Vancouver was exposed too, because as we've established, they were the rested team in this game. But if not for the hot start where they capitalized on Colorado's fatigue early, they really couldn't meet Colorado where they were at, even down a few key players and tired on the second leg of a back-to-back, given power play opportunities that they can't convert on with an Avs PK unit that's kind of newly constructed and still executing extremely well. You know, some of these new players being able to find chemistry as soon as they have too. There's a lot of things to be really excited about if you're watching this as an Avs fan, even among some frustration in how the first period plays out. They really make up for it in how the rest of this game unfolds.
We've talked a lot about the quote from Cogliano for the Avs about you can talk about winning or you can be about winning. Right. One, Vancouver clearly was not being about winning in the third period of this hockey game.
Yeah.
But two, you look at the Avalanche as a whole with the additions they've made at the trade deadline, even with the guys that they're missing. Sure starting to feel like they be about winning, no?
I mean, you can't help but watch that third period and wonder, are the cracks starting to show in Vancouver of like, hey, you had every advantage in this game.
You are not handling the moment very well.
Right,
here.
Like the one disadvantage you felt you had was that it was not Thatcher Demko in net, but Casey DeSmith was spotted up 3-0 late.
Yep.
And they threw it in the trash, and not only did they, I mean, they got dominated. They got dominated by a team on a Sega Baba. I don't care that the Avs had the second half of the Calgary game to coast.
They still played.
I don't give a shit. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me with that? Well, they coasted that game. Yeah, what was Vancouver doing last night? Watching that game. Like, give me a break. And for the Avs' legs to get stronger as that game went on, it's one of those things where you're like, there's a team with championship pedigree.
Yep.
And a team and a team where you say...
Learning.
Yeah, and a team in Colorado where you're like, anybody really want them in the first round? Do you really want them? To a man, if you were to ask them one-on-one, do you really want the Avalanche in round one?
They'd say, nah, give me
it's
somebody
not,
else.
It's not that there aren't flaws in the Avalanche and that they're so perfect and so dominant, but do you really want that smoke? You want Nathan McKinnon? You want the guy that might win the Hart Trophy this year in round one? You really want that? And on the other side, you've got Vancouver, which should be thrilled about where it is, where its season is, and the fact that, yeah, they've got top guys that are no joke. You know, Elias Pettersson got his head kicked in by Casey Mittelstadt tonight, but...
Still a great player.
Elias Pettersson does a lot of kicking in the head of other players on many, 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 many nights. As Eric has mentioned, they've got a gigantic homestand coming up to put some distance between them and the rest of the Pacific Division. I imagine they probably will. Which one of these teams is in a position where you're like, they're using this time of year to up their level and start to make everybody else a little nervous? Which one of these teams are you kind of like,
you're coming back to earth here?
Is this it? Like, is this, you guys have been riding the PDO bender all year long. You know, is that train getting a little derailed? And as I've said this 1,000 times this year, it comes for everybody. Yep. And what happens when you get punched in the mouth? What happens when things don't go your way? Well, you just coughed up a 3-0 lead, and it's not like they got down three. They gave up the 3-0 lead. It got tied, and they ratcheted it back up and then kept going. No, the Avs just kept plowing over them and ended up winning that game, and in our opinion, deservedly so. You saw a team, as Eric said, a team learning and a team that knows what it's doing, that's using right now. It looks like it's using this time of year. They've won 5 games in a row.
Wagon.
Like, yeah.
Good luck. You know, like they've been a really good third period team all season. They're not even healthy, but their stars are. And as long as their stars remain healthy, they're in games.
And this is what the Avs will do to you. If you're the Vancouver Canucks tonight, their star players, their decor, their coaches, you're just like, F. You know what I mean? Like, God. It makes you shake your boots. It does, because that was scary. Because what they threw at them in the third period, knowing that they're missing a lot of guys tonight with the flu and injuries and whatever it is, and on top of it, they played the night before. They shit-kicked them. And they had to, because quite frankly, they couldn't have played in their own end. It would have been disastrous. I mean, it came.
But Vancouver couldn't handle it.
That's my point.
Yeah.
And that's what they will make you shake your boots. You know what I mean? That's how good they are. This team is good. This team has the pedigree, you just said it, of a championship team. And there's a difference. You saw that difference tonight. You kind of saw the Avs of like 4 years ago there in Vancouver, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, learning to how to win, learning how to close out games, learning how to have that championship pedigree. So I think that's what you saw tonight. But then you saw on the flip side, Avs are for real. Avs will be there down the stretch. Avs are a great team. This was a great win. You know, great win.
And we talked about it for a team that has not been good on the road this year. This road trip, worst, 500 road trip.
Good.
It's not amazing. But given what happened on that Eastern swing coming out of the All-Star break,
could be worse.
You're looking at 500 going, all right, if that's the worst it gets, cool. Or to quote Megan, coo.
All right. Let's speed run these super chats and then try not to die on the way.
Holy Jesus. I didn't know there were that many. I'm sorry. I talked too much.
It's all good. $2 mouth. From Eric, who says, safe to say Colorado is in playoff mode. Let's effing go. Sure felt like it in the second half of this game.
Yeah, it did.
Walrus Man with the $5, who says, that was absurd. Nose Chushkin, serious playoff desperation vibes once Avs got their legs. Avs Schmeet. $14 from Drew. Does the nuke graphic need to be updated with the goal off his face? These new guys are effing amazing. Love the work as always. Drive safe going home. Graphic already had a goal off of his face. Impressive, I know.
Yeah.
But that's Vegas the second game. One. Yep.
Blaze updated it.
Did he really?
Yep.
X2 on the...
We're good.
Amazing. $5 for Rudraksha. I got it. I said it. It happened. Clean sweep on the number one seed and in a back-to-back. Two more points for Hart Kinnon. Go, Avs, go. All right. Thank you very much. $5 from DeGro, who says, one of the best comebacks of the season and a big game in the standings on back-to-back. Let's go, Avs. Vibes are good. Vibes are good right now. $20 from Aaron. Very generous. Love the comeback. Drive home safe tonight. Thank you. We might need the luck for the drive home tonight. Eric especially could be in trouble.
Yeah.
$5 from the Schick, who says, sorry if this was said already. I'm not watching live, but I think the nuke goal chart needs to be updated. What a second half to the game.
Buh.
I didn't realize that the Nichushkin goal body chart was that popular. Yeah. I thought it was more of a niche thing that we did a couple years ago.
Yeah, maybe it should be another shirt.
Yeah, it should be on its way back into style. $5 from Oro for the Doofenshmirtz Rudo Incorporated.
Oh, God.
Thank you very much. Okay. That's where the two nickels thing came from. $5 from Lucas, who says, teams feel so differently post-trade deadline. P.S. I live in Hawaii. I'm worried about y'all in the snow. Go Avs, but be safe. Yep. Thanks, I guess.
Once we get home,
we'll
all feel okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Remote pod tomorrow.
If we get home.
All right. Wait, why you got to be dark about it?
I'm sorry.
$2 from Trevor, who says, we're now a wagon, baby.
Yep. Yes.
About time. The first 5-game winning streak since the start of the season for the Avs, by the way.
Yeah, we've got to figure out 6 if they beat the Oilers. No, not right now.
Yeah, you're right. We got 2 days. Two more dollars from Eric, who says the only kryptonite for this core is game 7. Well, maybe they can beat that kryptonite this year. Who knows? Who's the same?
Why? Why we got to get into that right now?
$5 from Miko Minaj. Love the name. Mikko Minaj is back. That's all they say.
Username. I can't even something about the profile picture. I love what's happening here.
And then $20, extremely generous from Colton, who says, "Been too long. My wife called the win at down 0-2 somehow. I adore you all very much. Please be safe. And ice melt on any bad surface will work. Thank you very much." And then ridiculous $50 from Robin, who says, "What a win. Go Avs. Keeping it simple. That's thank you so much for the 50. That's a ridiculous amount of money.
Well said.
We appreciate it a lot from all of you. We're going to wrap it up and go home before it gets too crazy out there. We will be live tomorrow from home, remote show. If your power's on, tune in because we'll still be doing a show if there's 2 feet of snow on the ground. We're good to go. We're going to make it happen. We appreciate y'all. Thank you so much for the over 200 likes. We're not doing another shot because we have to drive home safe. You know how it is. But we're out of here, and we will talk to you tomorrow. Y'all silly like the mayor.